Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 301, Fire of the Holy Spirit. Guest minister Alejandro Arias delivered this message on Sunday, February 12th, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, what a sweet presence, amen. I just didn't want that worship time to expire. That was awesome. That was like mind-blowing. I loved it. Especially that song, Yeshua, carries such an anointing. Every time you sing it, you are worshiping unto Him. And when you worship unto Him, there's a difference between worshiping to Him and unto Him. And that's a different message for another day. Amen. Are you excited this morning? So praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for the fire baptism. Thank you, Father, that you're going to enlighten us with your word, that you're going to show us your glory, that you're going to reveal the deep secrets of heaven, that you're going to bring Rhema and Logos, and that both are going to accomplish your work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last night, the Holy Spirit brought the house down. And I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do this morning and tonight. Amen? We are living through a cultural, spiritual, moral, political battle. And the only way we can survive this battle is if we have the fire of the Holy Spirit. Believers without fire will lack revelation. They will lack strength, and they will lack, obviously, the power of the Holy Spirit. So today I'm going to talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit and what it represents and what it means to carry it in your life. Not just carry a little flame, but you have to be like John Wesley. John Wesley once said, "I ignite myself on fire so people come and watch me burn." You know, you have to have that kind of aspiration. You have to have that kind of hunger, like Charles Finney, like those great men of God who started the great move of the Moravian Church. The Moravian Church, they planted thousands of churches and they made thousands of disciples. But their motto was to keep the Holy Spirit at the forefront. Basically at the center of their church. It was all about the Holy Spirit, right? So that's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit in everything we do as a church. So I'm going to talk about the fire. I've been inspired reading this book and reading the history and the legacy of the church. I mean, revival is not new. Revival has been happening since Jesus left this planet. And when the great Pentecost took place, when the disciples were baptized with tongues of fire, and they went out and they preached the gospel, and 3,000 came to the Lord, and 5,000 came to the Lord, and so on, and the church was built. Then revival went to Rome. And then the Romans began to preach the gospel because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, the Apostle Paul began to preach the gospel. And then you have all these layers of revival, if you will. Now, the problem is, back then, there was no Protestant church. There was no Christian church. It was the Jewish, the ones that were, you know, the ones that believed in Jesus. And as a result, they dedicated their life and they spent the rest of their life following the Messiah, you know, our Savior. And then you have the ones who left the Catholic Church, and then you had, you know, kind of that split, you know. Then the Catholic Church came about. Actually, the Catholic Church was born out of that because they wanted to make the church an institution. And you know, you and I know that every time somebody tries to make a move of God an institution, it becomes a religion. And God doesn't want us to become an institution. The church was never meant or called to become an institution. We were called to become God's answer and God's government to this broken world. Amen? So that's who we are. We're God's answer to the broken world. We're God's governance. We're God's answer to the lost. We're not an institution. And so when we put God in a box, that's when we get religion. And God hates religion. And he's been trying to get rid of religion for a long time. So that's when you have the Catholic Church and blah, blah, blah. And I've been reading about, I've been like really doing a lot of research on the history of revival. Revival has been ever present since the Lord Jesus came to this planet. The Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. And a lot of people think, well, maybe there was a dispensation in time where revival didn't happen. And for 1,000 years, and many people, many scholars believe that during the dark ages, revival was not present, that there was no move of God. And that's actually not true. During the dark ages, God moved in a mighty way all over Europe, all over the world. And he moved mightily through men and women who were set apart. So let me tell you something. What am I trying to say with this? God will always raise a generation who will have a remedy, who will bring an answer, who will bring hope in the midst of darkness. I'm going to say it again. God will always raise a generation. And I believe you and I are part of that generation for today's need. God wants us to be his answer. He wants us to be his voice. He wants us to be his people to you know, bring a remedy. The world is in a desperate need of a remedy. Amen? So what do we need? We need the fire of the Holy Spirit. What do we need? We need the presence of God. We need the fire. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And I'm going to talk about the fire and the use of the fire and what the fire represents and how we can, you know, capture the fire of the Holy Spirit. Because last night, you literally could feel the fire of God falling on people. It was like a liquid baptism of fire. It was awesome. And that's what I've been experiencing the last few months. The Lord is baptizing the church with fire again. Now, I've been in ministry for 24 years, and I can tell you I have seen different waves of the Spirit. You know, I started as a young man, 11 years old. At the age of 8, God healed me of cancer. So I know what destiny means. I know what calling means. When God gives you a calling, he will protect your destiny. I'm going to say that again. When God gives you a calling, he will protect your destiny. And one of the things that will help you and forge your calling is the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit will help you and will forge your calling. God wants you to be on fire in this time and in this day and age. Amen? Because if you lack of his fire, if you lack of his presence, if you lack of his, you know, his anointing, you will live a life that is going to be very normal and very ordinary and very common, but it's not going to make a difference in this world. How many of you want to make a difference in this world? How many of you want to be disciple makers? How many of you want to be like the disciples that went out and made disciples and preached the gospel and thousands came to the Lord as a result of the preaching and the witnessing and laying of hands, you know? That's what the church is about. We need to multiply. And the best way to multiply is by sharing the love of Jesus, is by becoming magnets, is by becoming, by walking in our identity, walking in who we are. We are not an institution. We're not just a nonprofit. We're not just a nice gathering. We're not just a social gathering. We're not a club. We are the church. We are a body of believers, and we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and our DNA is a supernatural. Our DNA is a heavenly mandate. Our DNA is to see signs and wonders on a daily basis. Our DNA is to see the Lord being glorified in the city of Fort Wayne. Amen? That's got to be our DNA. That's got to be our vision. We want to see revival. See, what I'm seeing right now is a discontent, and I love it. I love it. I'm seeing a discontent in many, many people. A lot of young people, especially the generation that's coming up right now, Generation Z. God is raising thousands of young people right now that are completely discontent with the status quo. And they want more of God. They don't want the lights and the sound and the smoke. They appreciate that. They appreciate technology. They appreciate, you know, the modern side of church. But they want the real experience. They want the legitimate touch of God. They want the signs and the wonders. They want the miracles. They want to see the power of God. So what we are seeing in Kentucky right now, I don't know if you've been following the revival there. You know, for 5 days in a row, thousands of young people, you know, university students packing that room and worshiping Jesus. It's awesome. I'm like, that's what we need. And we need it in every university campus across America. We need revival like that. We need that raw expression of God. We need that organic expression where believers come together and they worship the Lord. You know, it's not scripted, it's not programmed, and it's not driven by man, but it's led by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need, church. We need the Holy Spirit. Come on. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit backing our services, leading our services. We need prophetic worship. We need, you know, people breaking out in other tongues while we're worshiping. We need healings and miracles. We need people breaking out in prophetic words. We need all of those manifestations because the church became a cookie cutter model where everything was scripted from the very beginning to the very end. And that's not church. Church is not four songs and a 20-minute message, and you look great, you're amazing, you're going to overcome the world and go home and have a great week. Hello? That's not church. Church is the power of God. Church is when you come together, you're the body of Christ, you come together, and there is a synergy, there is an anointing, there is a, you know, there is this, the Holy Spirit is what keeps us together. You know, the anointing is what keeps us together. So that's why I love the body of Christ, because we are all in this together. Amen? Amen. So the Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, this is Jesus. I baptize you with water for repentance. Oh, this is John the Baptist, actually. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with what? With the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. How many of you have heard of the revival in Dawsonville, Georgia? What God is doing there. More than 80,000 people have been gone through the water. They've been baptized in water and in fire. How many of you have heard of that? Recently, I was in Tampa, Florida, and I heard this guy by the name of Todd Smith. He's a great preacher. He was a Baptist preacher for many years, and the Holy Spirit filled him up. He became a Spirit-filled believer, a Spirit-filled preacher. Anyway, he had a small church, and he was really struggling. And he wasn't growing, and the meetings were not going anywhere. And it was just same old, same old. It was just church as usual, business as usual. Anyway, one time, he was so frustrated. He was about to give up. He was about to resign from his church, and he was going to get another job, like he was going to do something else. And he said, he began to fast and pray. And he said, God, if you don't show up at the end of this time, I'm going to pray and fast for 7 days. If you don't show up and tell me what to do, how to change my ministry, I'm just going to resign. I'm going to step out of this. I don't want anything to do with this church, because it was predictable. How many of you know that once something becomes predictable, it's boring, right? And if you, especially if you're hungry and you want God to move in your life, you don't want predictable. You want the unpredictable. You want the breakthroughs. You want the miracles. You want God to surprise you. How many of you like God surprising you? Amen. I want the unpredictable. I don't want the predictable. Anyway, so this guy began to pray, and then God spoke to him one day. He was in his church building, and this is what he says. You can go back to YouTube and listen to him. He was worshiping and praying in the sanctuary, and then all of a sudden, he sees in the spirit fire coming down like a fire tornado coming down on the water. Like he had a baptistry, and he saw fire like resting on the water. He saw like this fire cloud, right? And it was resting on the water. And the Lord spoke to him and said, next week you're going to have a baptismal service. And he said, God, what do you mean by a baptismal service? I mean, everybody in my church is baptized. And God said, you're going to have a baptism service next week. But this is what's going to happen. Fire in the water. And I want you to preach about this. Fire in the water. So anyway, he finished his prayer time. He went back to the board. He said, I'm not resigning. God has given me a word. I'm staying. So he stayed. And then he began to promote the meeting. We're going to have a baptism service next week. So the church was packed. And he preached on baptism. And everybody there wanted to go in the water. They all wanted to be baptized again. It was amazing. And God began to move in an amazing way. All of these folks getting healings and miracles and signs. I mean, it was great. Revival broke out as a result of his obedience. Obedience is the key for breakthrough. I'm going to say it again. Obedience is the key for sustainable breakthrough. If you want to see breakthrough in your life, you need to obey the Holy Spirit. And if God says do something, you do it. You don't question it. You don't come up with plan B or plan C. If God says go north, you go north. If God gives you the Macedonian call, you obey him. If God gives you a vision, you do it. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. And you may not be able to quantify it or question, you know, you may not be able to know it, like the full picture. But when God gives you a word, that word is going to carry you through. No matter what you're facing now, you may be facing sickness or opposition or the enemy, or even the enemy himself may be coming against you. But when you have a word from the Lord, God is going to protect you. God is going to protect the seed of destiny in your life. And so that's what we need. We need a baptism of fire. Say with me, fire.
Fire.
Now that's the word that I've been given to preach over the last few weeks. And I've been preaching on it. Every time I preach on it, it gets better and better. The use of fire. Fire is one of the four classical elements and has been used by humans in rituals, agriculture, for clearing land, for cooking, generating heat, light, and for signaling purposes. It is also used for melting, forging, incineration of waste, cremation, and as a weapon of mass destruction. It says the use of fire. I'm going to give you three uses of fire. Number one, fire purifies. Malachi chapter 3 verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire. God wants to purify the church. He wants to purify our hearts in this time and in this season. He wants to get rid of all religion. He wants to get rid of all idolatry. He wants to get rid of all unrighteousness. He wants to get rid of anything that is not of him. Because he's refining the church. Like, there shouldn't be any area in your life where there is a slight compromise. Because Jesus is coming back soon. So Jesus is calling you back to an absolute commitment. You're not meant to be committed, you know, 30% or 60%. You're meant to be committed 100%. And you're like, well, I'm not yet there. I'm not a saint. Well, you're on your way. You're on your way. God is perfecting and working with you. And he is improving things in your life. And the more you spend time with the Lord, the more you will become like him. That's what discipleship is all about. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more you will sound like him, talk like him, look like him, and reflect his glory. Because see, the true price of discipleship is spending time with the Lord. I'm going to say that one more time. The true price of discipleship is spending time with the Lord. And if you see that as a price, I don't see it as a price. I see it as a blessing. I see it as a privilege that I get to spend time with Jesus. So when you get to spend time with Jesus, you will become like him. You will look like him. You will sound like him. And you will do the same things he did. Because now you're starting to emulate after Jesus. You're starting to imitate him. You're starting to see what Jesus does in the secret place, and then you will go and reveal it in the public place. Now, this is amazing. Jesus had this dependency. He had this amazing dependency He would go out to the mountains. He would retire for days. And he would pray and seek the Lord. Even though he was Yeshua, he was the Son of God. He was God himself. He was the Lamb of God. He had this dependency. And he would go out and retire for a couple of days, and he would disappear, and the disciples didn't know where he was. Hello? How many of you have seen The Chosen? I've enjoyed watching The Chosen because it gives you a different light, and it gives you a different glimpse of what Jesus' life could have been about, or how it was handled, like all the logistics and, you know, his ministry and all of that. And it gives you more of a historical approach. And you may say, well, it's not 100% biblical. You're right. There has been a lot of creative license to put that together. But a lot of the writings that were used to put this series together, they were actually from those days. So they're not inventing. They're not making things up. They're actually grabbing writings and knowledge from those days and using it to create a movie like The Chosen. And I believe God is using, this industry to preach the gospel now. Because if believers are comfortable sitting in church every Sunday morning singing Kumbaya, God is going to use the movies to preach the gospel. Hello? Come on, somebody. If believers are too comfortable just singing and shouting hallelujah and having their own revival meetings and no one wants to preach the gospel, then God is going to use cinematography to spread the gospel. He's going to use something to spread the gospel. And I believe we are living in a time where God is using anything that is available so the name of Jesus can be glorified and be made known in the nations. Amen? So I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. So The Chosen shows this side of Jesus that we never see in the Gospels. Even when we read the Gospels, it's very hard for us to get the full picture. But when we see it in real life, when somebody puts a movie together and we can see how Jesus literally behaved, you know, even though it's like an illustration, it's just, you know, a movie. When you see it, you wonder, wow, he needed to go out and spend time with the Father. And I don't know how many days he would go out, but he would, like, you know, pray and fast and go up the mountain and seek the Lord and come back. And then he was recharged with the power, even though he was carrying the power. This is amazing. Jesus was the example, and Jesus is the example. And so if we look at Jesus, we understand that if he needed to spend time with the Lord, if he needed to spend time with the Father, how much more do we need to spend time in his presence? How much more do we need to recharge our battery every day? Hello? How much more do we need to go back to the main source? How much more do we need to be baptized in fire every single day? Like, God, don't give me just one portion. Give me every day your daily bread. That's why Jesus taught this prayer to his disciples. Our Heavenly Father, you know, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us your daily bread. Give us your daily rhema. Give us your word. He wasn't talking about food. He wasn't talking about, you know, pancakes and eggs. He was talking about rhema. Give us your daily rhema, so that we can sustain our families, so that we can sustain our spiritual life, so that we can withstand the attacks of the enemy, so that we can fight back, so that we can become strong in the presence of God. Give us your daily rhema. Because I believe when I read the word, I'm not just reading the logos. I'm not reading the printed word. I'm reading the revealed word of God. And when the revealed word of God becomes revelation to me, it will change my life. Because one scripture can change my life. Just one scripture. When you receive the rhema, the revelation. Oh, wow. So do you mean that I have to be baptized in fire? What does that mean? God is baptizing the church in fire as we speak. And I taught this teaching in California 2 years ago. It was amazing. I told the pastor, you know, God spoke to me about this meeting. I was in Red Bluff, California. And I said, God spoke to me about baptisms this weekend, and it was like 40-something degrees outside, you know. It was cold for California. So he's like, really? Well, God spoke to our elders 2 weeks ago that we were going to have baptisms, but we weren't quite ready for that. And I said, well, why don't you begin to fill up the baptistry? Because I believe we're going to have baptisms this weekend. And he said, well, I'm going to talk to my elders and I'll come back to you. So he came back to me. He said, the elders have agreed. We're having baptisms this weekend. Anyway, but the water heater wasn't working. And the water pump wasn't working. And, you know, one thing led to another. And the baptistry was basically empty, like, for 6 hours. That was the day when we were supposed to baptize, like, 80 people. And it was, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was still empty. We couldn't get it filled up. So people began to bring buckets of water, you know, just cold water, and just emptying the water and just filling up the baptistry manually. And it took forever. It took, like, you know, 6 hours. By the time it was, like, 6 in the afternoon, from 12 noon to 6 in the afternoon, it was almost like, you know, 2 quarters or 3, like, almost full. But it was cold. It was not nice, heated water. It was freezing water. And whoever hit that water, they felt the cold, and then they felt the fire. And, you know, because it was, like, literally, it had to be the Lord heating them with fire, because it was freezing cold. Anyway, so Saturday, you know, I preached on baptism, and a lot of people came forward and they wanted to be baptized. And one lady who was very sick, she had 2 crutches, and she had an injury, several back accidents and things like that. And she was walking in crutches. And she came to the pool. She came to the baptistry. She had some ushers helping her. And she got in there, and it was freezing. I mean, the moment when she touched that cold water, she went like, woo, this is cold. But anyway, she got in the water, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. And the anointing was so strong that we didn't need to dunk her in. I mean, she just fell in the Spirit, and then she went down, and then she went down again, and went down again. She fell in the Spirit 7 times in the water while she was being baptized. And then she came back out of that experience. She came out of the water, and when she left the pool, she was totally healed. She didn't need the crutches. She was totally healed. She was able to bend her knees. She was able to walk. She was able to move without any problem. No restrictions whatsoever. Jesus healed her in the water. I have seen thousands of people right now that are being healed in water. God wants to baptize the church with fresh fire. And that's what we need. We need fresh fire. Amen? Do you agree with me? So fire purifies. Fire purifies. And what we're seeing right now is we're seeing the Lord drawing a line and saying, are you going to stand with me, or are you going to be part of the lukewarm church? Because I'm coming back to purify the lukewarm church. And God is dealing with them right now as we speak. God is dealing with them. Why? Because they want to go back to the same standards of doing church, business as usual. That's not going to work. You're either committed or you're not committed. You're either a worshiper or you're just a church folk. God doesn't want you to be a church folk. God wants you to be committed. You know, this is not about church. This is about being committed. This is not about what church you attend. This is about, are you a disciple of Jesus? And are you making disciples? Are you reaching the lost? Are you really living your life for Jesus? And when I see people, like, for example, what I saw last week, you know, in the Christian entertainment, and I'm not going to criticize or bash anybody or use any names, but I saw some Christian artists and I heard of some popular Christian, you know, worship teams that didn't have the guts to get up and walk out of that room in LA during the Grammys. They sat there. They listened to the show. They watched the show. They saw the evil. They saw the pagan, you know, the pagan practices, and they didn't get up. You know, it would have probably been more courageous, and it probably would have made a statement, and it would have been all over the news if they had have walked out and they had have left the place. That would have said something about them, and people would have felt the commotion. and we would have heard about it. But nobody had the guts to get up and walk out of that stage, walk out of that place. Because how many of you saw what happened during the Grammys last week? You know, a pagan altar was set up. The demons, I mean, the demonic activity, the devil basically showing himself before the nations and trying to impress everybody. You know, the enemy's really, he is really putting pressure on. And he is increasing things at an accelerated rate. We are going through a time where evil is increasing and God is moving at the same time. So you have revival happening and you have wickedness overtaking the nations. But in the midst of this battle, this, you know, collision that we are seeing of evil and light, righteousness and unrighteousness, the church and the pagan practices, because the pagan spirits are rising up again. So those spirits that were alive, and I'm not saying they died and they came back, I'm saying those spirits that were very active back in those days, like 4,000 years ago, are coming back. And they're revisiting our planet again. I'm talking about pagan spirits. If you read on this amazing book that Jonathan Cahn wrote recently, and he published it, and it's wonderful, and it's got a lot of knowledge and revelation, those pagan spirits are visiting our planet again. See, spirits, they come in cycles, and they visit a place, especially if they're part of a principality or if they're a governor of darkness. They will come back from time to time, and they will try to reclaim a region. But I believe America belongs to the Lord. I believe the nations belong to the Lord. So I 100% believe that no matter what pagan spirit is rising right now, the Lord is going to prevail. The Lord has given us an answer. The Lord has given us a power. The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit. The Lord has given us the authority to subdue the evil powers. Come on. The Lord has given us a power to bind and to break and to loose. The Lord has given us a power. We are God's entity, God's heavenly entity. On earth, we are God's answer. We are the church. Amen. We represent the kingdom. So number one, God is purifying my life. Say with me, God is purifying my life. He is purifying my family, my soul, my heart, everything about me. How many of you are going through that process right now where God is purifying you and God is bringing you to a level of accountability that you never had before? It's like, God, show me the things that I need to change. The things that need to change in my life, I want you to change them. Number two, the fire is melting and the fire is shaping my life. Fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest added firewood and arranged the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously and must not go out. I pray the revival that is coming, I pray that the fire the Holy Spirit is giving you will not be quenched. It will not go out. No matter what you're going through now, no matter what you're facing, no matter what the enemy is throwing your way, the fire that God has given you will not be quenched. Don't allow anything to quench the fire in your heart. People will come and they'll use discouragement, and the enemy will use even people that are familiar to you, and they'll come and discourage you. You have to have the authority in Christ to stand your ground and say, I know who I am. I know what my calling is, and I'm going to obey my Father. So don't allow people that will come from time to time, used by the enemy to quench the fire. Don't allow, you know, I call them, you know, obviously we know what the fire guys do. You know, they go and they take care of fires, right? The firemen, but, you know, firefighters, right? But we have firefighters in churches. What does that mean? We have people that are not walking in the Spirit. They're not walking in the revelation of the Lord. And they want to tackle fires. And they want to quench the fire in you. They want to discourage you. They want to use words of discouragement. So you need to turn a blind eye and you need to look up to the Lord and say, God, I want this fire to keep burning in my heart. I want to be like Elijah. I just want to burn in the spirit. Did you know that Elisha, the anointing in Elisha, I'm talking about Elisha, his anointing was so powerful that it was locked in his bones. And the Bible says that, you know, when he died, his bones, you know, obviously he was buried, and somebody's soldier fell off the horse and hit the ground where he was, you know, where his bones, his remains were there. And the Bible says that this man, just by touching the body, the bones, what happened? He came back to life because the anointing was locked in Elisha's body. That's the kind of anointing that we want to aspire, that we want to have. Lord, I want to have the anointing that is locked in my bones, that is locked in my spirit. I want to have a fire that is non-consuming, that it will not go out, that it will not be quenched. No matter what the enemy tries, because the enemy is going to try. He's going to try with lies and fear and intimidation. He's going to try with different things to quench the fire. How many of you have gone through that process? How many of you have gone through that journey in the past where you feel like you're on fire and then all of a sudden you feel like somebody's turning the temperature low, really low, and you're like, well, where's the fire? Something is not going right. Like the fire's about to go out in my life. And that's when you need to add more wood and stoke the fire. Stoke the fire. You know, the Bible says, even Paul said to Timothy, I want you to revive the God's gifting in you. I want you to revive it. Revive it. Stoke the fire. Don't allow anybody to intimidate you. Fear is going to, you know, do that. The enemy is going to do that to steal the fire, to steal momentum. But God wants to use you in this hour. Amen. So you carry fire, and that's the fire of the Holy Spirit that is going to rest upon you. That's the fire that we need in this time and in this season. And I'm going to read this because I believe this is really powerful. I believe this is what we need in the church. This is what we need. We need people with this kind of boldness and this kind of spirit. Thank you, Lord. Whew. It says, Christians have often used the language of fire to describe revival. And for good reason. Even the most, historical glance at church history shows us that when the Holy Spirit envelops a community in revival, the dross and the rubbish is consumed and new life begins to spring forth. Like a bushfire in the outback, revival will transform a landscape. It will strip away all that has accumulated in your life. It will take away everything that is hindering you. And it will deliver you and expose you to the glory. It exposes the preeminent and timeless purposes of God. And in time, revival will spring forth like a new spiritual landscape whose legacy is enjoyed for generations to come. Come on. God wants you to be a carrier of His fire. The question is, are you sustaining it? Are you keeping it? Are you letting it be present in your life? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work with you? Are you preparing the soil? That's the number three use of the fire. The fire prepares the soil. God wants to prepare your soil so you can be a good soil, so you can produce a good harvest. And number fourth use of the fire, it illuminates. God wants you to be illuminated. He wants you to see the light. He doesn't want you to live in darkness. He wants you to see the light. Amen. He wants you to be in light. So I want you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I want your fire. I want your real fire. I want the genuine fire. I want the fire to purify my life. I want the fire to burn everything that is of the enemy, any unbelief and fear, any evil, anything that is holding me back. And I want the fire to prepare my soil so when the seed is planted, I'm not going to be a barren soil. I'm going to be a fruitful soil. So when the seed is planted, then I'm going to get a good return out of my soil. How many of you are good soil here? Raise your hand. I believe you're a good soil because you have the fire of the Holy Spirit. And what fire does, it prepares the soil. That's what they do in those big farms back in the days. They used to have like control fires, and they used to burn the ground to prepare the soil for the harvest season. I don't know if they do that nowadays, but they did it back in the days, and they still do it in Australia and some other places where they have like control fires, and they burn the soil so the soil can be ready for the harvest. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you burn the soil to bring out life? Hello? Why would you burn the soil? Like, why would you do that to bring out life? Because out of the fire comes new life. Oh, hallelujah. That is a deep revelation. Out of the fire comes new life. So whatever is in the soil of your heart, if maybe there's a pesticide or something that is not allowing your soil to become, fruitful, for your soil to become a good soil, maybe your soil has been barren for too long, the Lord is going to bring that fire, and the Lord is going to prepare your soil. And before you know it, you're going to become a good soil. In fact, I want to prophesy that over you this morning, that your soil is going to become a good soil. That everything the Lord has planted in your heart will become a dream, and it will become a God-given mission for your life. I prophesy that you are not just going places, but that you're going from glory to glory. I prophesy that you will see the victory and the Lord bringing down the walls of Jericho, and you'll be able to conquer the promised land. I speak the Lord will bless you and give you favor and shine his face upon you. I speak the Lord will give you grace, and grace will be your currency, your heavenly currency. And you don't need money, you don't need dollars to walk into some of these places, because you have God's given grace. And when you have his grace, doors are going to open for you. And before you know it, you're going to be before kings and before people that you have never met in your life. And you'll be scratching your head thinking, how in the world did I make it here? Well, it was God's grace. It wasn't your cologne. It wasn't your perfume. It wasn't the clothing you were wearing. But it was the grace of God that was outstanding enough to give you room and access to places that you didn't have access before. Come on, somebody. I prophesy that your soil is good enough and is healthy enough to bring out a good return. Amen? Amen. You're going to have a good return. Come on, say it. I'm going to have a good return. Say it one more time. I'm going to have a good return. Because I carry the fire of the Holy Spirit. So my soil is ready. So when God plants the word, that word is not going to be, it's not going to be choked. That word is not going to be dried up. That word is not going to fall in the wrong soil. That word is going to be captured by my spirit. And that word is going to become rhema in my spirit. And before I know it, I'm walking in a miracle. Before I know it, I'm a living miracle. I'm walking in the manifestation, in the outworkings of the word that God has given me. I'm not just listening. I'm not a listener. I'm a doer of the word. How many of you are doers of the word? How many of you are good soil? So the fire will purify you in this time and in this season. The fire will burn all religion and idolatry in your life. The fire will prepare the soil, and the fire will illuminate you. And that talks about revelation, enlightenment. You will be enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Before you know it, you have received a light. You will be reading the scriptures, and you'll be like, well, I never understood that. I've read that verse in the Bible 1,000 times, but now it makes sense. Hello? That's the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. You'll be like, well, I never knew that was the key for my breakthrough. I've been praying for breakthrough. I've been asking the Lord to show me how I can access that breakthrough, how I can break through that soil, how I can break through my family. And maybe you were listening, but you were like, God, well, it doesn't make sense. Maybe I need to do it this way. Maybe I got to do it my way. How many of you think that your way sometimes, is better than God's way? Hello? How many of you like to have that opinion sometimes? Like, my way, it may work. I'm going to try my way. I'm going to see if I can push my way. And how many of you know that it doesn't turn out the way you expected it? Come on, be honest. Come on. God's way is higher than your way. And so when you have the alignment of his word, God's going to provide miracles. Heaven will be your daily provision. I'm going to say that one more time. Heaven will be your daily provision. Oh, come on. Come on, somebody. Heaven will be your daily provision. What does that mean? That means joy will become available. Peace will become available. Healing will become available. Resources from heaven will become available. Revelation from heaven. You know, signs and wonders and all the goodness above will become available for you. So when you execute the power of the name of Jesus, when you execute the word of God, when you execute the will of God, you're not standing on your behalf. You're standing on God's behalf. You're standing on his kingdom's behalf. And you're going to execute the will of God by declaring the word, because you are a catalyst. You are an instrument. You are, hallelujah, come on somebody. You are a fire torch. You are a source of fire. You're a fire hydrant. Come on. Holy Spirit, I want to capture this fire. I want the baptism of fire. You know, John the Baptist, he was baptizing in water. But then Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you in fire. When Peter, this is what happens when you receive the fire. Peter was a vulgar man. He was an educated man. He was a man of the street. He didn't have any Bible college or any Bible degrees or knowledge. Hello? He was a vulgar man. The Bible says he was an educated man. And guess what? God met him. Jesus met him and discipled him for 3 years. 3 long years of discipleship. Now I'm going to ask you a question which is going to defy every theological odd out there. Do you think the disciples were born again, spirit-filled, and ready to go and conquer the world when they were called by Jesus? Do you think they were men of the street, vulgar, and they didn't have any knowledge, they had no idea what they were doing? Hello? And then why would Jesus call them if they were so unqualified? Because we are. Hello? So Jesus likes to call the unqualified to qualify them. I love God's grace. Come on. Jesus loves to call the unworthy to make them worthy through the process. We will never, ever consider ourselves worthy or merited. But God has given us a merit and the grace to do things that we don't think we have the merit to do. Yet the power of God in us has given us a strength to do those things. Come on. Amen? So it is by God's grace. God's grace. So Jesus called a bunch of men that didn't have any experience. But I mean, this was a very interesting dynamic of putting a team together. Because he called some that were highly educated. Like, look, you know, he was a doctor. And then he called Peter, who was a fisherman. And he called some that were like, you know, tax collectors. And tax collectors in those days were, you know, very rough men. And they worked for Rome. So God brought them all together. He brought the perfect team to storm the world. Come on. Hello? I mean, think about it. Tax collectors, doctors, fishermen, men of the street. He brought them all together. Even former prostitutes were in his team. Hello? And Jesus gave them a mandate. And Jesus prayed for them. And then at the end, Jesus said, why don't you tarry in Jerusalem and wait there, and you shall receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Peter received the baptism of fire. And he came out of that place with a revelation of Jesus in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. Because the way he described Jesus, if you read the book of Acts, if you read his sermon, he basically told the Jewish community, this is what you did to the Messiah. This was prophesied. He knew every single word, every single prophecy in the Bible. In one sermon, he said it all to the Jewish community. Had he gone to Bible school? No. Did he have any knowledge of those prophecies? No. Yet he received it by utterance. Hello? Did he ever go to Bible school? Was he ever prepared? Was he a rabbi? No. So how come he had all that knowledge? He went out and he left the Jewish community, the rabbis and the thousands that were listening to him. They were in awe. They were listening to Peter. They're like, isn't this the fisherman? I mean, the guy who denied Jesus, like he's preaching with such knowledge and adequacy and boldness and power and knowledge. That's the Holy Spirit, my friends. When you allow the Holy Spirit, when you're baptized with the fire of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will take preeminence. The Lord will take authority over everything in your life. Come on. The Lord will take the lead. And when the Holy Spirit takes the lead, it's no longer you leading your life or your family or your business, but it is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is leading, you shall see breakthrough with your own eyes. When the Holy Spirit is leading, you shall see miracles with your own eyes. When the Holy Spirit is leading, you shall see amazing results because you are being obedient. And you are yielding to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, it's not about me. So when Peter preached, that was a baptism of fire. And then the disciples begin to preach the gospel and thousands begin to come, you know, from all over Jerusalem and all over Rome and all over the world. They begin to accept the Lord as their personal savior. Jesus wants us to become fire carriers. Fire carriers, come on. And this is a time where God is going to baptize you with fresh fire. I want you to pray in the spirit right now. Fire carriers. Holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy. God is raising a new generation of believers that will carry the fire of the Holy Spirit. And they will be, I'm going to wrap this up. They will be, number one, there will be lamps of fire. Christians with revelation and enlightenment of the times. So they will not be taken by, you know, wrong winds of doctrine. They will not be tossed to and fro. They will know their stand and their authority and their identity and their they will know what they're doing. They will know their weight and value. They will know their authority in Christ. Number one, lamps of fire. Number two, torches of fire. Christians with understanding of evangelism fire. What happens when we allow the fire to extinguish? This is what happened during the Second Great Awakening. It says the Great Awakening by 1745 had begun to fade in America. Though revivals continued to spread in the southern backcountry and communities in the south into the 1760s, America won its war of independence against the British in between 1775 and 1783. That word had a lot of violence, coupled with the secularizing ideas of the French Revolution in 1789, 1799. It bred moral decline in the United States. Out of the 5 million population, 5 million alive in those days, 300,000 were drunkards. 300,000 out of the 5 million. Can you imagine that? 15,000 were dying annually. Increased sexual license boosted disease and profanity, and all of these manifestations increased, and truthfulness declined. The French were donating millions of francs to the revolutionary ideas in America. In the once Christian America, now the colleges and schools were becoming places of communism and socialism, where teaching was being promoted, you know, every day. How many of you, when you read this, kind of reminds you of what we're going through right now? How many of you can see a similarity between this, between 1765 and 2023? There was a great moral decline in 1745. Great moral decline. And that was because revival had faded and the church was not doing what they were meant to be doing. And every time the church stops walking in the power of God, the world will decline. Evil will overtake the world. The enemy will run free and he will establish his dominions and he will establish his, you know, rulings and he will do whatever he wants. But when the church rises, we will see revival. Come on. So then God had to raise a new generation, and that was Charles Finney. In the 1830s, this is what happens when a man is set on fire. Charles Finney, in 1792, he grew up in the midst of revivals on the frontiers of upstate New York. An avid sportsman, he studied to become a lawyer before receiving a dramatic touch from God at age 29. He says, one day he returned to the front office and found that the fire that he had made of larch wood was nearly burned out. But as he turned to take a seat by the fire, he received a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Without any expectation of it, he felt the impression like a wave of electricity going through his body. And indeed, it seemed like to come in waves and waves of liquid love and fire. He couldn't express it any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God. And then Charles Finney went out to the pubs and the bars and the discos of those days. The history says, you know, the books on revival say that he would like go into these places and greet people, and people would fall dead under the power of God, and they would repent and they would sob for hours and hours, and they would ask for forgiveness, and it would say, please pray for us, and they would beg him for forgiveness because they felt like Jesus was walking into the room. This is what God wants. He wants the church to be a manifestation of Jesus wherever we go, wherever we are. We're not just church people. We are disciples. And whenever we pray for people, we're going to see signs and miracles. And you're like, well, I don't see them when I pray for them the first time. Pray the second time, the third, the fourth, the fifth time. It's going to work. Because in the name of Jesus, under his mighty name, every tongue and every demon, every demonic force shall bow before the name of the Lord. When you understand your authority, see, America has gone through decline. Europe has gone through decline. The whole world has gone through decline. It's happened in history. It's happened again and again and again. But every time the world is declining, God raises a new generation. Every time the world is going down, God raises the church. And I believe God is increasing the temperature in the church right now. And there is no other moment more exciting to be alive than today. My friends, God is increasing the temperature. Tell your neighbor, God is increasing the temperature. He is taking it a few notches up, and the fire is increasing. And I can see revival, the embers of revival beginning to come together. And I can see the Lord is stoking the fire. I can see the Lord moving in the nations, and I can see the Lord stirring the hearts of men and women all around the world. And as we begin to pray, and as we begin to seek the Lord, we are going to see this consuming fire coming down to the world, and we are going to see the greatest gospel era. The next 10 years are going to be crucial. They're going to shape our history, they're going to change our destiny, and they're going to change our life, because God is about to baptize the church with fire again. I said, God is about to baptize the church with fire again.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.